Norman, would you share with us just a moment of thoughts about your mother?
My mom, Eleanor Eliezer. Emulating the Jewish people's leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, my mom was a wonderful teacher. A great teacher imparts wisdom and information, but more importantly, ensures that the student has or the students have the tools needed to go out and build on what they already know. Making sure that I had the skills to learn and grow all the while being proud and cheering me on, mom certainly went above and beyond in her investment in my education. With respect to my Jewish learning, mom also set me on the course beautifully. I attended Hebrew school 3 days a week for 2 hours a day at the Rego Park Jewish Center. For peers of mine, and unfortunately for many Hebrew school attendees, Hebrew school comes second to regular school. When there was a reason not to go, like annoying snowstorms, many of my classmates didn't make it, but my mom said that Hebrew school is part of my education, just like school, and unless they close, I should be there. As I grew up, whenever relatives or friends visited our apartment, they would marvel at the art on the walls. My mom was very prolific with her needlepoint, and my dad made beautiful paintings. People would come over, and each of them would say on different occasions, pointing to their work, "These are mine." My mom would say, "These are mine, these are his," pointing to my dad's paintings, and then point to a picture of me and say, "That's a joint project." As I continue to work on that project, I'm thankful to have found great support from my family, my friends, and community, and thankful to Dr. Shkop for helping further my Jewish learning.
Thank you very much. This shiul is dedicated to Eleanor's memory. May her neshama have an aliyah, and you will soon see how apropos this particular mizmor is. I found it a little shocking that when I looked at it, it was like I had never seen this before. And yet I found a record that indicated that I taught it exactly 10 years ago, but I couldn't find one stitch of notes. So I had to start learning it all over again. And maybe that was lucky. It took another 10 years of maybe maturation, or whatever you want, to be able to appreciate this particular mizmor. You will find that the English translations, wherever they come, do a good job in making a very complex, very difficult mizmor somewhat more simplistic, if you like. But we will see that, in fact, there is a great many layers in all of this. And this mizmor amongst the mizmorim of Tehillim is utterly and completely unique. There is nothing like it. It would have been very much like reading in a condensed form the book of Ecclesiastes. It's Kohelet in one mizmor Tehillim. So, Lamnatseach Livnei Korach Mizmor. So right away, you know that this was not written by David. This is not written by Shlomo. This is not just written by anyone. This is written by Bnei Korach. And most of those Mizmorim that are written of Bnei Korach are later Mizmorim. But this begins with a long preamble. But you'll see something incredible here. This is not meant for the Jew alone. This is for all humanity. Shimu zot kol le'amim. Listen to me, all the nations. Hazinu kol yoshvei chaled. All of you that live here on earth. But he calls it chaled. And chaled is the shoresh chaluda, rust, indicating that this is a world in which everything is in a stage of decomposition. It is all dying. This is the world of mortality, where things rot, even those things that are not organic, fall apart into their elements. He refers now, gam bnei adam, gam bnei ish, yachad ashir ve'evyon. I'm addressing all bnei adam, I'm addressing all bnei ish. And our commentaries, they can't understand, is this merely a repetition, a use of synonyms for no good reason? Who are bnei adam and who are bnei ish? To some, B'nai Adam are Yehudim. B'nai Ish is everybody else. Others say, no, B'nai Adam means everyone, all sons of Adam. Ish indicates people who are important. And if that would mean the powerful people, the nobility, or those who are rich and entitled, because Ish indicates somebody who has some sort of social status. And you'll see that our Mefarshim have almost completely different perspectives on this. I would argue that Adam was the man created with God's own hands. He had no parents, and he was created in the image of God. Whereas Ish comes from the word Enosh. It's three generations later, and the word Anush means mortal. So he moves first to somebody who sees himself as the creation of God himself, made in his image. And B'nai Ish is very much where somebody feels their own mortality and recognizes that his time here is very limited. Who now Anush, he now knows that death is inevitable. And he refers to them all yachad, together, the rich and the one that is completely impoverished. The Evyon has nothing. Pi yedaber chochmot, my mouth is about to speak great wisdoms. Vehagut libi tvunot. And at the same time, my own personal understandings, how I interpret the words of the wisdom. In other words, he's going to transmit to us the wisdom of the ages, but in his words, so that he could make them as understandable as he understands it. Itele mashal ozni, I will turn my ear to the great parables. A mashal is a proverb. So I'm going to pay attention to what was transmitted to me. And I will attempt to transmit it. Eftach b'chinor chidati. And so I will use my harp and set it to music. And I will give over my riddle. In other words, what I'm about to say might be a little bit obscure. You need to learn it. You need to study it inside. You need to dig for it. It's not so simple. And you will see how hard this actually is. Lama ira bimera. Why should I fear in days of evil? In days where it seems like there's troubles, why should I fear them? The question is, why not? Ra is a threat to us. Why would I not threaten when I have something much more dangerous to fear? Avon akavai yisovuni. When I am entrapped, wrapped around, all around me are the sin akavai of my heels. I want you to understand that this is a person who believes that every footstep I take leaves a mark. Every act I've taken has its consequences. I needn't fear something from the outside when there is enough to fear from something that I myself caused. The consequences of my own actions. And suddenly he's not talking in first person again. Instead, either who he's addressing or who he's talking about. Habotchim al cheilam, those that trust. Chayil is translated eshet chayil, woman of valor. Chayil is your wherewithal. It can be your talents. It can be your wisdom. It can be your strength, your physical strength, or it can be your money. What is it that you yourself are relying on? Uberov oshram yitalelu, and to all those who praise themselves, think they've accomplished because they have all this wealth accumulated. Who's he talking to? people who are relying on what? On their physical strengths, the bank deposits, the talents, their wisdom, their learning, their education, their social standing. Ach, lo pado yifde ish. A man cannot even redeem his brother, much less a stranger. All that money, all that education, all that social or physical power that you have will not redeem a brother, even not your relatives. Lo yiten elokim kefor. You haven't got enough, no matter how much you have, to redeem, to pay the ransom to God, to save whom? Another. Never mind that you can't save yourself. Ve'yikar pidyon nafsham. For the ransom to take back their souls is much too expensive. You cannot afford it, even if you are a multi-billionaire. To keep your brother or yourself, v'chadal la'olam, and keep them here and save him from eternity. In other words, you just can't buy life. No matter how smart you are, no matter how strong you are, you're going to die. You can't redeem yourself or anyone else. The price of a life is beyond what any human being can give to return them. And then comes the next part. Vayichi od lanetzach lo yireh hashachat. Most of our mefoshim say that this should be read quite sarcastically. Vayichi od lanetzach. Do you imagine for a moment that he will then live, if you did have the money, that you could keep him alive forever? Do you imagine that you could keep his body from decrepitude, from rotting? We are all mortal, and none can escape death. So what can we do? Look around. If you see, and you will see, chachamim yamutu, the wise, they will die. No different, together with yachad ksil ubar yovedu. And along with the fool and with the ignoramus, they'll all die. They'll all be eradicated. Ve'azvu le'acherim chelam. And they will leave whatever they accumulated in this world to others. Their strength, their wisdom, their money. Because you can't take it with them. But please notice, says the Malbim, Chachamim yamutu, ksil uvoa yovedu. And what's the difference? The Malbim does not believe that there is simply a repetition of synonyms for emphasis. We don't say things twice. And that there is a subtle but very important difference between the two of them. Lamut is the body. The wise, their bodies will also die. But the ksil, the fool, and the ignoramus will be eradicated. For the chacham leaves something behind. And what is the chel? What is the wealth of the fool? What is the wealth of the ignoramus? He has nothing to leave us behind. The chacham can leave chokhmah behind. He can bequeath something valuable to future generations, more valuable than any wealth you can put into a bank account. He can give them the secrets of a life well lived. What will they do? Kirbam batemo leolam. Very difficult phrase. And one that's not translatable, because there is a play on words here, according to most mefarshim. Kirbam, kerev, is on the insides. In the insides of their house, leolam, will be forever? Really? Mishkenotam, ledor vador, their dwellings will remain from generation to generation. They will call their names here on earth. On the surface, this implies that while their bodies might be left, Shem, their name, remains. If they had a home that they built, if they had children who will carry on. So those will last from generation to generation, and their names will be remembered even here on earth, even if their bodies are gone. Level number one. To others, this is said quite sarcastically. Can their houses remain forever? Their dwellings last from day, generation to generation? Will people still call their names here on earth? Will they? Who do we remember? And how long do we remember them? And how many generations do we remember them for? The play on words, according to Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, according to Amos Chacham, is that there is something else going on. It's not the kerbam, it's the kever. You see the same letters? Karov is close. Kever is a grave. Some people would like to leave a mark. They build themselves monuments. Big grave sites with stone and marble. Pharaohs who made their pyramids to keep their themselves alive from generation to generation. They make sure that their names are engraved in public places so that they would be remembered from generation to generation and try to keep themselves alive this way. Oh my. So if that's the case, is this a misspelling? Should we say kivram instead of kirbam? And why would they read it this way? Because of the next line, which now becomes a chorus and is then repeated with a small differentiation at the very end. So it's as if I had a preamble, I have part one, and now comes my poem. And the poem begins with verse 13 and ends with verse 21, with this chorus in the lines both ways, and then a small change between them, if you look carefully. Ve'adan bikar palyalin, imshal kibehemot idamo. But man, mere mortal man, even the one created in the image of God, is what? Biyikar, you know that word from Megillat Esther. Yikar, yakar, and we saw that word earlier, means expensive, dear, things that are precious. A man does not go to sleep with all that he holds precious. He can bury them with him, but it doesn't help him any. He can take all the gold and silver and put it in his coffin. It will make no difference. Why? Nimshal kibehemot nidmu. He has been compared to a mere beast, to whom he is alike. So I have two words that are the same. Mashal, dome, similar, like the word Adam. But I have something else with the word nidmu. Domem, like you heard, ve'aharon yidom. He remains silent. He's like the beast. And both he and the beast after death remain silent. There's nothing more that they can say. Oh, fools that are men, who are no different than the beast. Zedalkam keselamo. This is their way, fools that they are. Ve'achareihem befihem yirtzu. And after they're gone, they want still to express something. They want their name. Now I ask you, what would be left for them to say after they're gone? Well, it depends what they taught their children. It depends what mark they made. If they spent their lives chasing money, their children will spend their lives chasing money and will express those same vain values. If they spent their lives helping others, and that's what they expressed as the meaning of life, then that is what will be said about them when they are gone. What was important to them will be said. So it's as if they can't speak anymore, but others will speak for them about what was important to them. But in the meantime, katzon l'sheol shatu. All human beings go like so much sheep to the grave, and there they're placed, like sheep who don't know that they're going to the slaughter. Mavet yir'ein. Death, which is now personified as the angel of death, herds them together, gathers them together, leading them, and you know where. Vayirdu bam yesharim laboker. See the play on the word bikar, boker, kirbam? Over and over again, the play on those words. And they will be taken down. And now the question is, who are the Yesharim? Are they the ones that are going to go down? The honest, along with the criminal? The good, along with the evil? Rashi says, like sheep, we are all led to the pen from where the Shechet waits to take us. And like sheep, we're completely not aware that that's where we're being led. Radak says the Malach HaMoves gathers us together. He's our shepherd. He takes us together all down into death, and we are not the wiser. Led to the slaughter. And there, Yesharim. Some say that the Yesharim, Amos Chacham says, are angels that come and take them. La boker, come morning. V'tzuram levalot she'ol mizvulo. And they are taken down to decompose in she'ol and become zevel. Literally, zevel, like garbage, that would eventually do what to the earth? Enrich it, fertilize it, because that's what's going to happen to you Your body is going to rot. Says Ibn Ezra, all of them, the Yesharim, are not angels. The Yesharim are what you are made of. And he says it's the four elements. The four elements is that fire will go become fire. Water goes back to water. Air goes back to air. Earth goes back to earth. And not unlike what has been written elsewhere, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, Adam la'amal yulad. And he ends up exactly where he started from the Adama back into the Adama. Except, Tsuram. Mi ze Tsuram? The rock. Hatsur shelahem. The rock from which they were hewn. Who is the rock? Who is the rock from which you were hewn? It's the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And what remains is your neshama. Ner Hashem neshama. It is not going down. Levalot Sheol. Mizvulo, the grave is not, zvul is another word for a home. It's not the home for the neshama. Ach Elokim yivden nafshi miyad Sheol, for God can redeem my soul from the hand of the grave, if he will take me. If he will take me. In the Tanakh, we have precious little that describes what happens after death. In the entire Torah, there is no direct and explicit mention of Olam Haba. Because we cannot comprehend it, it makes no sense to us. We have no way to grasp what it means. This mizmor is the most explicit mention of the fact that we go back to the source from which we came from. Yes, the body goes back to the earth, and the soul goes back to the Ribbono Shel Olam if he will take it. That's why we daven for Aliyat HaNishama, so that the Nishama goes up, does not end up in the grave. The opposite of Olam Haba is what? Gehenom? Where's it written? The opposite of Olam Haba is nothing. Is being just like the beast, because there's nothing for the Ribbono Shel Olam to take. There is a neshama that was given to you, which you can develop or you can extinguish. The word ra, evil, is the opposite of tov, but it is not an essence. Bayit Ra'ua is a house that is decomposing. And it is a law of physics and a law of nature that all matter is constantly in a state of decomposition, falling apart. Holding something together, keeping it alive, is tov. And the tov that holds it together is none other than the spirit of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Veruach Elokim merachefet al pnei hamayim. It is that which holds it together. When the Ruach Elokim leaves the body, it naturally does what all matter does. It falls apart. It is the default. if there is no Ruach Elokim left in it, and it's gone, Yovedu. But if there was a Ruach Elokim in this body, then Ach Elokim Yifde Nafshi Miyad Sheol. It is the Ribbono Shel Olam who can redeem that soul, ransom it from the hands of death, and keep it into eternity, into its life, as it joins with the Ribbono Shel Olam and the consciousness, this divine consciousness that knows all and sees all and is with us. Al tira ki yashir ish ki arbe kvod beito. Why would I be afraid if a man would become rich? If a man would increase the honor or the substance or the status of his house? Because I may say that he has a better chance of living because he's got more than I do. And the answer is, fool, there's nothing to fear. Because in his death, he can't take it with him. His honor, his essence, who he is, does not go after him. Where does that kavod go? And what then is kavod? Kavod is means the essential being. So if I ask the kavod of Rabban Shalom, lo yireni v'chai, no human being can see the essence of God and still be alive. What is a human being's kavod? Well, the British understood it. I give you my word of honor. My honor is my essential being, who I am. And it is what we would call your soul. It's the only thing of substance that will remain. Kavod is not something that somebody else gives you. Kavod is what you are. In death, you cannot take what you acquired. But what you are does not go with you into the grave. Your honor, your essence, who you really are, does not go down with you. Instead, what can you do? Nafsho b'chayav yivarech. You can bless your soul. Now, the word bless is a word that we don't understand it in English so much. It's as if we evoke something that comes from somewhere else. Please notice that the word barach comes from doubles. Bet is 2. Kaf is 20. Resh is 200. It means increase, increase, increase. You understand? It's to make more. So if I'm looking for bracha, yivarechecha Hashem, whatever it is that you need, more of it. You need more money, more children, more success. More. What can you bless? What can you make more on your own while you are alive? Your money, you'll leave it to somebody. It won't come with you. The size of your house, you can't take it with you. The only thing that you can increase is your nefesh. You can kivyachol make it greater, or you can diminish it completely. Through what? Through the good that you do. Through the mitzvahs that you do, through the chesed that you do, your neshama grows. And there's something there that remains. And as a result, ve'yoducha, you will be acknowledged for that good. By others, by the Ribbono Shel Olam, by the world. If you do what? Ki teitiv lach, if you'd only be good to yourself. Because what you do for yourself. And if your life is nothing more than the pursuit of material goods, you've done that to yourself. But if your life is a life of learning and your life is a life of goodness and chesed and kindness, you are now a greater person. Tavo ador avotav. That goodness that you've done will come to other generations, and it comes not only for yourself, but even for your fathers. It's as if you are somehow can redeem them, and that's the only way that you can do it. It's why we learn and do give tzedakah for the memory of a dead departed. It's as if I can still do something for him. Ad netzach, until eternity, until forever. Lo yiru or, and they will not see light. They're going to see light. They will not see light. What are we talking about? The dead can only return and return to where they had come from. If there is no soul, if that has been diminished, they're finished. Lo yiru or. But if they did a great deal, then they can bless their souls while they are alive. Adam biikar velo yavin. But man who is stuck on his wealth, who looks only at what it is that would make him stand out in society, who looks for kavod from others instead of from what really matters, lo yavin, he does not understand. He really is nimshal kebehemot nidamo. He is nothing more than a beast, and he will be silenced. All right. I've just scratched the surface on this one. This needs a lot of learning. These are very hard words and the moving and tenses, in case you did not see it. But this incredible issue that we need to recognize, and that is that what you can do for yourself in this lifetime, and what you do for others. As they say in Yiddish, vus metit tit min fazich. Whatever you do it for yourself. The good and the bad. The good and the bad. Eternal life only to somebody who has an eternal soul. But some people have no soul. Hitler has no soul. He is kebehemot midamo. And don't start telling me that your animals have souls. Unless you believe in gilgulim, you think that somebody's reincarnated in your pet dog. That's another issue. And to live life like a behemoth is to think that Europe came here to graze, right? To reproduce, to get fat, and be oblivious to the fact that you're going to the slaughterhouse. Now, this is not pretty. This is not what we usually think of as tehillim. This is not, it's hard to call this a psalm. It's not lyrical. This is very much in the style of Kohelet, who looks clear-eyed at reality and at the same time recognizes that all of the pyramids and all of the monuments that you will live are bound to be eventually destroyed. And the heroes of one generation become the villains of the next generation. Boy, do we live in that society today with the cancel generation, right? Whoever we thought was good is now suddenly reviled. Now, but if you've done good and if you've touched the lives of somebody and you made a difference to somebody else's life, that's eternity. That's eternity. And that can't be eradicated. And that can survive forever.